So as a way of introduction, all or most of you here know, I'm the youngest child of Jerry and Debbie Tate. My brother Jason and wife Katie have shared their testimonies, and I mentioned that here at the beginning of sharing mine as their testimonies, my parents' influence, and others who are not here this morning are a large part of my testimony. I grew up in a Christian home. Both of my parents expressed verbally and lived visually their love for the Lord in front of me. We always attended church. I was homeschooled my whole life and was given a lot of knowledge and privilege of knowing the things of God. Having said that, I don't actually remember a time as a child where I could look and say I had a personal relationship with Jesus. I have very fond memories of my mother, and her death hit me tremendously. She always put a huge, and I mean huge, significance on how important it was to be a follower of Jesus Christ. She never made anything more important than that. I always remember her telling me that it didn't matter if I was good at reading, if I was good at math, or anything else, as long as I loved Jesus. It's not that she didn't want to give me a good education. She just wanted me to know that if I received the best education money could buy, it wouldn't matter if I didn't have Jesus. A college education, a career were nothing if I didn't have Jesus. She would say that it was more important for me to find a godly husband who loved Jesus more than anything and be a woman of God who stayed home with her babies more so than to have an established career. I don't ever remember not knowing about God. He was always talked about in our home. I can't pinpoint the exact moment it happened, but at some point, probably between the age of 12 or 14, other things did start to become more important to me. There were other people and children that began to be an influence in my life that seemed to have so much freedom. They always seemed to be having such a good time, and I wanted to be a part of it, so much so that I let it fester into bitterness and depression. I can remember the exact moment I told my mom I was no longer a Christian. I know I mentioned I can't look back and remember having a personal relationship with Jesus, but I did think myself a Christian, and if asked, I would say that I loved him to the extent that I understood him then. Having told her this, I didn't actually think I would go on to not live for him or not marry a godly man. As this attitude progressed, she would later warn me that I needed to repent and that if I didn't turn to the Lord, I would end up doing a lot of things I couldn't imagine myself doing at that time. You know, she was right. The next several years of my life, I went from committing what some might consider trivial sins to completely losing myself. All I wanted was a taste of that freedom that I thought I saw in others. But it wasn't freedom I found. Like many, once I lost myself, I found myself in the enemy's clutches. I didn't really know how to get out. I flirted with repentance with attending a couple different Bible studies at different times, but always ended up in the same place. I did not end up marrying a godly man, though praise God he has since become one. My husband Andrew, as he has shared, comes from a broken home. Before Andrew was a thought in my mind, I was friends with his siblings and we would all hang out. I knew then how destructive things in his home were, and I remember asking my mom to go and tell them about Jesus. She would look at me and say that I should get right with Christ and talk to them myself, though she did willingly go and talk about the Lord with Andrew's mom. She just wanted me to be in a healthy place where I could do it myself. So even then, in my rebellion, I knew Jesus was the answer. Andrew and I, in marriage and before marriage, didn't have the coziest of relationships, but we had had children together, and I was going to make it work. I was going to make it work because I didn't want an unsaved, unrenewed Andrew to have split custody of our children. To be honest, the idea scared me. I thought better to keep him close than to chance my kids being away from me and with him. I didn't go into my marriage thinking that it would last forever. My only thought was that I could keep my babies close until they got old enough. I would have passing thoughts that the only way Andrew and I could ever actually last is if both of us came to Christ. Strangely, I never expected Andrew to come to the Lord before me, or really, I never expected him to come to the Lord. Yet that is exactly what happened. You've all heard my husband's testimony and how God drew him to himself. Shortly after Andrew gave himself to the Lord, I experienced a demonic attack unlike anything I had experienced before. I was having suicidal thoughts. I was having panic attacks. I just felt that something had to happen. It had to happen now. I needed to leave him. I needed to take my own life. I was full of rage. I wanted to do to him all the wrongs that I felt he had done to me. I knew that all the thoughts and emotions I was having were demonic. I had dealt with my own demons for many years, but these were new ones, and I was scared. I knew that I didn't want to feel this way. Any one of the things mentioned above was going to happen. Something was going to happen. I didn't want it to be any of the things I mentioned, so I called on the only person I knew could help. The person that was ever ready to help. He had always been willing. I called on Jesus. I told the Lord I was done and that I would follow him. And despite not wanting due to my personality, I went and told Andrew what I had done. Then all the emotions and temptations I had been experiencing just left. Since that day, my marriage has gotten better, and I have found friends and fellowship and ways here amongst all of you that before I would not have let happen. I, like all of you, am a work in progress, but it is a work where there is real hope, because Jesus is my Lord. God bless you.